Well, I'd like to first start off, frankly, you know, thanking Ted Thompson, our personnel staff, our coaching staff, and really just a great effort in putting together this draft class and really the ongoing search going on right now with the rookie free agent class. So a lot of work obviously goes into this for each and every club, and we feel very good about where we are so far in the player acquisition phase. And frankly, this particular season, watching it all come together and then and really the way the board fell, it kind of, we just stuck to our guns. So I thought our guys did a great job with that. So with that, I will take your questions.
Mike, with two tackles, do you feel you kind of protected yourself from injury right away? And obviously there's contract situations looming that will protect yourself at that position down the road now too.
Well, I think first off, when you look at the big men that have been drafted, there's definitely, I know in my opinion, desire to get bigger. So we've accomplished that. But really, just like I said in the opening statement, I always look at the draft board a lot like a game plan. You need to stick to it. Ted and the personnel staff did a great job just staying true to the board, and it's really the way it fell. But you know, they're big men. You never have enough big men, and that's definitely something that came out of this draft class.
Hey, Mike, why did you want to get bigger? Just the quantity, or were there other reasons involved in that?
Well, it's a big man's game. I mean, I think that's, you know, when you get into a season, when you look at challenges that you have during the season, you have to make sure you take care of things up front. So we have a very good offense and defensive line, and I think just the way the draft board laid out in the numbers of potential prospects there, that this was definitely an opportunity to take advantage of that. And we were fortunate to get two offensive linemen and two defensive linemen.
Mike, as you were looking at the draft guys come through, and particularly you and Dom, were you thinking that these were guys you could plug in, the defensive guys, you could plug into what you're doing, or are you thinking, you know, maybe there's some things you can expand with the type of guys they are, 6'5 guys, you know, outside linebackers?
I think anytime you have a system of football, you have to be able to take advantage of all your players' qualities, and I think we do a good job of that. So every young man that's been drafted, particularly even on defense, I mean, you look at the pass rush ability and obviously with Lowry, the length of a true five technique and some of those things that, you know, we may not have had as many of those body types in the past. So we have those schemes or those techniques. There's nothing that we need to add. If anything, you're looking to decrease things each and every year and tailor it to your players. So I think all these guys have been excellent additions.
Did you get enough help at inside linebacker to play Matthews predominantly outside as you were hoping to do?
Definitely. You know, I think, you know, this is a fluid situation. You know, obviously Martinez comes in here and he gives us a guy that's, you know, played a lot of football, 4-4 dime player. That's something that's always very high on my list when we talk about players. You know, you start with special teams and offense and defense. So it's definitely going to be a very competitive 90-man roster. That's really at the end of the day, that's my true focus. And the process is still going on, and we need as many as we can to keep them competitive.
Mike, you said it's a big man's game. How important are, or in what ways are your inside linebackers important to your defense? I mean, what do they do that's most important?
Well, inside linebacker position is important. Obviously, I think a lot of people want to start with the command of the defense and, you know, being able to run a defense. And we got inside linebackers here in-house that are capable of doing that. Clay Matthews did some of that last year. So we have experienced players there. And then you definitely look for that in young players. So and then you go from there, you look at, is he a three-down, four-down player? And once again, tailor the schemes or the opportunities to the player's skill set.
I know Ted always talks about best player available, but from your perspective on things, just how important was it to get a guy like Clark, considering BJ's gone, Pinnell's gone for 4 weeks, to get that big air?
Well, I mean, I think those are all obvious, you know, things that have gone on with our football team, and but I don't think you make big future decisions based on four games or you know, potentially, you know, one player leaving. I mean, players, you know, some things happen as far as, you know, you look at BJ's situation and unfortunately have injuries and so forth. So really, you might be, I don't know all what you're looking for, but it's player acquisition's fluid. You can't have enough of them. You can't have enough big guys, you know, up front. So that's really, I know it was my focus. I was really hoping to come out of here with as many big players, you know, offensive, defensive linemen as possible. That was just my personal outlook on it, and I feel good about where we are right now.
Mike, what's your kind of first impression of Trevor Davis, and kind of weapon do you think he can be offensively,
especially? Well, you know, I think the first thing that jumps off is, you know, is his speed, you know, in his hands, and you look at the opportunities that he had there. Obviously, played in a rotational type offense, and obviously, everybody knows about the, you know, the quarterback, and so I think with that, he's played in a versatile offense, and I think he'll come in here and challenge, and he brings a little bit of, you know, different dimension with his vertical speed.
Mike, do you view him as a potential returner, and how much of an impact is that still in today's game with the rules?
Returner is a very important position, and it's definitely even more important here in Green Bay. I mean, if you look at November, December, and, you know, January football, it's especially the punt return. Now, we have good punt returners, and he'll definitely be given an opportunity to compete.
Mike, how do you feel about that wide receiver group right now with what you're getting back from injury, what you've added, and what kind of emerged late in the season?
Feel very good about the wide receiver group. I'm not concerned about the overall speed at all. You can just make that clear right now. It's been great that, you know, we've been able to add 4-3 to the mix. But we got guys that can run. They can run fast. They can go over the middle. So I think getting the health of that unit back will be the biggest improvement. So I feel very good about our wide receiver group.
You know, you've also always said that the offense is quarterback-driven and the game is. How important is it when you have a great quarterback to get him as many weapons as you possibly can?
Well, it's very important. I mean, it's important to protect him first. It's important to, you know, make sure you got the people up front and run the football and keep your protection schemes versatile to make the defense honor it, and then and create those one-on-one opportunities for the weapons. So, yeah, it to me, it all plays in, and everything's important.
Mike, you got some guys from Stanford, a Northwestern guy. Does that kind of intelligence translate to football intelligence? Is there a carryover for
Well, I think when you talk football, and particularly when you talk to the area scouts, it's, you know, they, I don't think that you just assume because, you know, where they went to school, but, it, you know, it definitely helps. I mean, and these young men today come out of colleges. It's the information revolution and the access that they have, not only to, you know, what's going on in college football, but pro football, but more in specifically what they talk about in a 1 minute conversation about the Green Bay Packers. So yeah, I mean, intelligence is important, knowledge is power. So, and I think it's great that we've hit the highest academic institutions in the country.
Mike, do you think Murphy and Spriggs offer some positional versatility up front for you?
Positional versatility? If you look at our history, we've pretty much taken tackles in the past. So I think with that and how they develop and how all those guys fit together, there definitely will be an opportunity for, you know, positional movement and things like that. And I think like anything with young players or any player competing to make a roster, the more that you can do is obviously you increases your value to the football team.
Mike, you're a couple weeks now into the offseason program. Mm-hmm. How has Eddie Lacy looked to you, and how has Jared Cook looked to you?
I mean, they both. I mean, we pretty much have been in the strength and conditioning, and we've been in the classroom, so they look good. Both off to good starts. You know, Jared looks like he's making a transition seamlessly. He's in great shape. You can tell. I mean, he's a pro. I mean, he's done it year round. You know, Eddie's a lot further ahead than he was this time last year, so he's off to a good start.
Mike, did the signing of Cook impact the way you drafted in any
way? I don't think so. I mean, I think it's, like I said, if you look at the way our picks came off the board, it was a reflection of what our personnel staff, and particularly, you know, Ted, how he felt about those players.
You know, is there much of a relationship between, you know, where guys play, the size of the school, the conference and stuff like that, and how they contribute as rookies in the first year? Do you find that those guys are more ready to play, they play a more sophisticated system?
Are you testing my analytics preparation? I think, you know, those are all variables. I mean, you have to look at all that. But you know, it's you can fall into the trap of that too. I mean, you can fall into the trap of, you know, certain players from certain schools. You may have had, you know, a positive or a negative experience. But you know, once again, this process is so detailed. I can't say enough about the personnel staff, particularly just the, you know, and now that this draft is so late, not only getting the board set, but just the cross evaluation, looking at the board vertically, horizontally, by position, you know, breaking out into groups. And so we felt very good about the way our board was stacked, and we trusted it.
What have you seen from the offseason and then this weekend to make you think that you're closer to being the dominant defense that you were talking about the combine than you were at the end of last season?
Well, just like I told the football team, you know, our number one, you know, opportunity for improvement is the 9 weeks off-season program. We had 63 guys on the contract that first day, and those men sitting in the room, they are going to impact our football team the most as we move forward. I've always believed that. That's how we set this whole thing up. The 100% attendance, I can't remember the last time we haven't had it. Is a big part of our success as a program. So now we got a chance to add this rookie group and, you know, push our roster up to, you know, approximately 88, 89, whatever it comes into. You know, as it'll be fluent, obviously, as we go to training camp. But this 9 week opportunity is something that we've always tried to max out. So we will definitely improve, and we've taken those steps so far to improve as a defense, as an offense, and as the special teams.
After you picked the receiver, Sam Seal came down and practically begged defenses to play you guys like they played you last year. With the new guy, with Jordy back, Ty back, you know, Janice emerging last year.
I'm sorry, Sam Shields?
Sam Seal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He begged?
Yeah, I mean, he basically begged defenses to play you guys like they did last year.
I missed his press conference.
Yeah. I mean, are you kind of in the same mind that because of Jordy's back and – you know, Janice emerged, that you guys are going to be a lot different offense.
Defenses were aggressive with us last year. No doubt about it. Started early in the season and it continued. And, you know, we didn't get them out of it. So, we'll see how it goes. We've scored a lot of points around here. So we feel confident that we'll be able to do that again.
And Mike, what's your role in the draft room now? I mean, I'm assuming it's evolved a lot since you were a rookie coach 11 years ago. You know, how often do you get to give your input, and how often does Ted ask for it? And what do you kind of like to do? What do you like to do with that?
Well, frankly, just be part of the conversation. I mean, these guys put so much more time into this. It's really, if anything, I'm a lot more relaxed. I don't worry about the things as much. And frankly, you just learn to trust that board. That those guys put so much time into it, and the way those players are stacked. You learn to control what you can control. And it's just supporting the conversations that go on prior to the draft. You know, Ted and I have a meeting a couple days out before each and every year and just talk about our roster, the guys that are here, and, you know, the vision of how I see the football team moving forward. And then he goes to work. So, you know, Ted sits in the big chair, and he has to make those final decisions. And he's got a tremendous filter to take in all that information, and he's extremely consistent with his decision-making.
You know, you've won a Super Bowl, and lots of successful coaches someday reach the point where they kind of want to buy the groceries in addition to cooking a meal. Are you still the same? You once told us you didn't really have much interest in that. Do you still feel that way, that you would rather just coach?
Well, I just don't, in my opinion, for as much time as I and the coaching staff put into the coaching the team, I don't know how you can run a draft the way it needs to be ran and also run a football team as far as being involved in the scheme and the evaluation of the prior year, the installation of what's coming up, to be as heavily involved in off-season program as we've been. I don't, I've slept at the office. I've done all those things. I don't think it's feasible, and I know I wouldn't, because I'd be cheating one job that I've done forever, and to try to do both, I don't think you can to do it at that level. I mean, you'd have to give something up. I mean, I definitely would have to give up, you know, play calling and all that. So, but That's not a desire. I tried it once. I don't know if you remember, but so I'm going to stick to what I do.
Two more, please.
Mike, in your experience, when these rookies do come in through the draft, how excited are they? And you have to kind of knock that excitement off them to get them into the football mode, or are they ready to go?
Well, I think it's a little bit, you know, my years in college coaching, you spend so much time recruiting them, you don't have to de-recruit them. Like, you know, I think sometimes goes on to college level. The experience that we'll have as a coaching staff Thursday night when they come in for the rookie orientation, it's always one of the neatest days of the year. Just to get all the rookies in one room, and y'all obviously have your draft picks, and we treat them all the same, and just the wow factor that they go through. You know, some of the guys have been here already on visits, but just to get them all in one room and start the education of, you know, what our program's about, the expectations of them in the locker room, the culture that's already here, and most importantly, operating in line with everything that's done here at the Green Bay Packers. So it's, I don't think you really need to bring them down. I think these guys, when they get here, they're eager to get going, and that'll start Thursday, and then we'll obviously practice on Friday.
Is there something, Mike, you look for or that tells you or gives you the clue that, you know, maybe this rookie is ready to contribute right away versus other guys when you see him out in the field?
Evaluation's going on all the time. I don't care who you are. We evaluate you too, Mike, all the time because you work here. I think any time you walk down the hall, you have interaction with people. When these young men come in here on these trips, the evaluation starts when, you know, as soon as they get off the plane. When the director of security, Doug Collins, picks them up, he has an opinion. So the people they interact with in the cafeteria, there's an opinion there. So it's everybody's involved in that process. So it's all about gathering information, creating, you know, the best opportunity for them, and utilizing our resources to make them successful. Because at the end of the game, that's how we become successful.
So have you evaluated Wes yet? Or?
I haven't seen Wes. Congratulations, Wes. So.
Mike, with the offseason program being a couple weeks in now, has anything jumped out at you? Aaron said the first day that you actually had to quiet the guys down, that there was a real energy in the room. Just after what you've been through the last couple seasons, the way they've ended, do you get any vibe from your team just 3 weeks in?
I agree with Aaron. It's a great vibe. When you walked into the team meeting room on Monday there, the 19th, you would have thought that, you know, we were preparing for a playoff game. It felt like they never left. So, and I think that says a lot about our players, and that, you know, they laugh at us when we, as coaches, when we tell them, hey, we miss you guys. It's great having you back. It's not the same when they're not here, because it isn't, because there's so much energy in the building, and it definitely has a very energetic vibe.